This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on evolving India-China relations. The participants are Ashok Sajjanhar, former ambassador, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.
India and China share a border of 3,488 kilometers. The situation keeps evolving with time. On 21st October, in a significant breakthrough, 4 years after the Galwan Valley clash, both the countries reached a patrolling arrangement along the line of actual control. The recent agreement between India and China aims to restore mutual patrolling rights in Debsang Plains and Demchok in Ladakh. It comes after the heightened tensions on the border in 2020. The External Affairs Minister of India, Dr. S. Jaishankar, recently apprised the Parliament of India's relations with the neighbouring China. To discuss more on this, today we are joined by Ambassador Ashok Sajjanhar. Ambassador Sajjanhar, welcome to Akashvani News.
Thank you very much, Deeksha.
Ambassador Sajjanhar, before we delve deep into the subject, I would like you to first throw some light on the historical ties between India and China, who are natural neighbours.
Yeah, we are neighbours, and as you said very rightly, we share a border of 3,488 kilometres. It's a disputed border. It's an unsettled border. And this has this really takes us back to the 1950s. At that time, your listeners might recall that we were even using the phrase like Hindi, Chini, Bhai Bhai, you know, that we had such fraternal bonds of friendship with each other. But that soon turned nasty. We had the war of 1962, in which, unfortunately, India was not able to stand up to the onslaught from China. And in his remarks to both Lok Sabha and Rajya Sabha yesterday and day before yesterday, what the External Affairs Minister said is that before 1962, all the activities by China, they had usurped 38,000 square kilometers of Indian territory in the Aksai Chin area. And in 1963, Pakistan, which had illegally occupied a part of the Indian state of Jammu and Kashmir, they gave away 5,180 square kilometers, what is known as Shaksgam Valley, that they had given to China. So China was able to construct a road from Xinjiang into Tibet through using the Shaksgam Valley. So this is the historical background. We have not had any firing on the border. There have been discussions that have been going on over the years to normalize bilateral ties. But in Galwan, what you mentioned in 2020, in June 2020, when the skirmish took place, it was the first time that a life was lost on the line of actual control after 45 years. Dr. Jaishankar has said to the two houses of parliament that we have, after 4.5 years of strenuous discussions and negotiations between the diplomats of both sides and between the army commanders of both sides, we have been able to reach an agreement by which the normal patrolling rights in the two outstanding points, positions of Debsang Plains and Demchok, they would be restored. And he expressed satisfaction that disengagement had been achieved and patrolling had already started in these two areas also.
Ambassador Sajjanhar, we'll decode your answer one by one. But first of all, for the benefit of our listeners, I would like you to talk briefly about what happened in Galwan in 2020. What was the reason behind the heightened tensions and how it impacted the relationship between the two nations?
Yeah, so why did it happen? Because we suddenly saw that Chinese troops, in violation of all the earlier agreements that we had signed. And Dr. Jaishankar, in his remarks, he gave a full detailed account as to how, after the 1962 conflict, the two countries met, the two sides met in 1988, and they decided that we will seek a peaceful solution to our border problem, and through talks, through negotiations, and not through war or through conflict. This was decided in 1988, and 1991, it was decided to come up with agreements which would put this in writing. So 1993 was the first agreement that was signed. 1996, we had the second agreement, which was a confidence building measure in terms of how we are going to regulate the border, the line of actual control between the two countries. Then there were further agreements to clarify and amplify on the decisions that had been taken. They were signed in 2003, 2005, there was a guidelines and principles that were agreed to 2012, 2013. So about six sets of agreements were signed. And they were being pursued, the normal relationship in trade, tourism, education, all this investment, all this was going on. And there were discussions that were being held also on settling the border issue. But in violation of all these agreements, China moved its troops in April, May 2020, tried to move them into Indian territory. Large numbers. India also put in place a mirror deployment of similar number of troops and stalled the forward movement of the Chinese troops. And this because of a misunderstanding. There was a skirmish at Galwan on the 20th of June. So as a result of that, after that, the relationship came to a freeze. But we kept on discussing, like two mature powers and two self-assured powers, we kept on discussing. There were about 21 meetings of the commandants, senior commandants that took place. There were about 17 meetings of the diplomatic representatives that took place, trying to sort out the issue. And of course, there were meetings also between the external affairs minister, foreign ministers of the two sides. Dr. Jaishankar met his counterpart just after the Galwan incident. Both of them were in Moscow for a SCO meeting, Shanghai Cooperation Organization meeting. He met his counterpart Wang Yi on 10th of September. Subsequently, also, he met on many occasions for G20. Foreign Minister of China had come to India many times last year. They met, they discussed this issue. This year also, again, on the 4th of July, in Astana, in the capital of Kazakhstan, on the sidelines of the SCO summit, they met again. Our Defense Minister, Raksha Mantri, Rajnath Singh Ji, he met his counterpart in Moscow, as also more recently in Laos, on the sidelines of the ASEAN Defense Ministers meeting. As a result of all that, they were able to come to an agreement on the 21st of October that status quo ante would be restored, so that patrolling of these two remaining points, that is Depsang Plains and Demchok, that would also be permitted under controlled conditions, and also that grazing rights to the shepherds of that area, which were earlier available to them, that also would be provided.
Since you spoke about the earlier patrolling arrangement between the two countries, could you also explain what is coordinated patrolling?
Basically, the idea is there should not be any misunderstanding. Basically, both sides should know what the other side is doing. So you have to inform the other side that from our side, these are the number of people who are coming, and that number is specified also in the agreement. And they will be going in this region, they'll be going in this area, and they'll be spending this time, and after that, they'll come back to their post. And similarly, the Chinese will also do that, so that there is predictability. Neither of the sides is taken by surprise. And so it is basically to ensure that there is a peace and tranquility in the border. The whole idea is that both sides accept that this is a disputed area, that one side maintains this belongs to me, the other side also maintains this belongs to me. So they are doing it, they are exercising the right to be there and to ensure that their presence is felt, but otherwise that no mishap should take place.
Coming on to External Affairs Minister briefing in the parliament a few days back, he spoke about the India-China relationship. He also spoke about the diplomatic engagements at various levels to normalize the situation. In your opinion, how far will this go in setting the tone of the relationship between the two countries in the near future? I would also like to add that India and China have more than 30 dialogue mechanisms in place at various levels. So, your comments on this?
This is very important because so far it has yielded good dividends. It has yielded good results. You know, as I mentioned that Dr. Jaishankar met his counterpart in Moscow in September 2020, just after the Galwan incident. They also met in Astana. They have also met on the sidelines of the G20 process. There is also what is called mechanism, what is known as the WMCC, the Working Mechanism on Cooperation and Coordination.
Ambassador Sajjanhar, I would like to add on here, since you mentioned the working mechanism for consultation and coordination. So the 32nd meeting of WMCC was held today in the national capital, and the two sides have positively affirmed the implementation of the most recent disengagement agreement which completed the resolution of the issues that emerged in the year 2020. They also prepared for the next meeting of the special representatives, which is to be held in accordance with the decision of the two leaders in their meeting in Kazan on the 23rd of October. There is much more to it. This is one of the highlights which I have mentioned here of the WMCC meeting held in New Delhi today.
And let me also add, because this is very important, that when there is a diplomatic engagement, then the representatives of the defense services are also part of that delegation. And vice versa, when there is a meeting between the commandants of the two sides, then diplomatic representatives are also a part of the delegation. So that everyone is on the same page, everyone knows what is being discussed, what are the possibilities, what is the potential for improving relations. So here, as far as the diplomatic interactions are concerned, they have proved to be very useful. And in fact, this is the direction. These are the instructions that have been given by our two leaders, by our two top leaders, Prime Minister Modi and President Xi Jinping, when they met on the sidelines of the BRICS summit in Kazan in October. As we have discussed, Deeksha, there was on the 21st October, this agreement was reached for allowing patrolling on Demchok and Depsang plains. Immediately after that, in Kazan, both the leaders met and they told their foreign ministers that disengagement should be put in position. And after that, of course, de-escalation and also how to normalize relations between India and China. So the first meeting after the meeting of Prime Minister Modi and Xi Jinping, first meeting between the foreign ministers of the two countries, in fact, took place in Kazan itself. And they have directed their foreign secretaries to deal with, to interact with each other, meet with each other, and to discuss the process of de-escalation and also of normalization of relations. So this discussion amongst, to start with the foreign secretaries in the coming days, I think that was will be important in terms of seeing how far we can and how quickly we can take the process of normalization of relations. And the last point here, the two leaders also decided that to get a final decision on the in terms of resolution of the border problem, the two special representatives which had been appointed in 2005, that they should start meeting again and try to resolve this issue. They have met, I think, more than 22, 23 times over this period. But I think this whole process will recommence, which had been halted after Galwan in June 2020. This will also commence and they will also try to make a contribution in terms of resolution of the border issue.
Ambassador Sajjana, very briefly, I would like to have your comments on the trade relationship between the two nations and also what role does people-to-people ties play enhancing the good relationship between any two countries, and when it comes to India and China, what role will it play?
First, taking your second question, first, people-to-people contacts are very important. There might be relationship between governments, but you know, governments come, they change, different leaders come, but people-to-people contacts are the ones that really sustain bilateral ties between any different countries. We've seen that between India and the United States, India and Australia, India and the United Kingdom. Now, as far as trade issues are concerned, China is one of the largest trading partners of India. And basically what we have done is that we are importing more of intermediates and inputs for our manufacturing process. It is required because we have started what is called a Make in India initiative. We want to make India a manufacturing hub of the world. We also want to increase our exports. For that, we need intermediates. And China is a very important element of the global value chains and the global supply chains. So we are, for the intermediate period, for some years, we will have to depend upon these intermediate goods coming in from China. As a result of that, there is a huge trade imbalance. China exports much more to India than it imports from India. India also has competitive goods, but there are many non-tariff barriers that China imposes on export of Indian goods. So we are working with them on removal of these non-tariff barriers.
In the coming days, we'll keep observing how this relationship progresses. Thank you so much, Ambassador Sajjana, for sparing your valuable time and throwing light on the India-China relationship.
Thank you very much, Deeksha.
You were listening to a discussion on Evolving India-China Relations. The participants were Ashok Sajjanhar, former ambassador, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashwani correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani.